keep Rayman Digital on the air through 2020 by pledging to our Patreon page. Remember, your continued support allows us to make all this wonderful content and help us keep them lights on in the future, in the studio, get us new microphones, stuff like that that we need by pledging $1 to $10 a month. Go to patreon.com/RaymanDigital to pledge.
Would you care to step outside?
We did it today.
Superman.
My friend.
Who are you? The lesser of has to compel me to reveal the truth.
I'm Batman.
Yeah.
Hands. Diving with my hands.
Warning, DC and RMD contains adult language and discussions. If you're easily offended, do not continue to listen.
Awesome.
Oh, sorry. That's your signal. That means we have to go now.
You have failed this city.
All right. It is DC on RMD, Arrow Edition on Rayman Digital. Find us on all those podcast providers. Rate, review, subscribe. I am your host this week, the one and only Bobby D, and with me is Angelica Dawn.
I'm confused with this episode, but I'm
You're confused. You are here.
Yes.
All right. You are here, and you are confused.
Yes.
Ryan is also confused because he's not here this week. You know, he's off on his own journey, walking the earth, doing whatever the fuck he wants. But he's not here, so me and Angelica will take you through this. This was episode 7. Purgatory, directed by James Bamford, written by Rebecca Bellotto and Rebecca Rosenberg. Angelica, what happened this week?
They're on Lian Yu, and they all got there somehow, and the fuck?
Yeah,
a weapon has to be made. Everyone's just trusting Lila, except for Diggle, which makes sense, but also, okay. I don't know. Like, it just... I felt like I just had to stop thinking, shut my brain off, and be like, okay, all right, we'll just swallow this.
Well, okay, so first off, I want to start with...
I didn't watch it in order, okay?
It's fine.
I skipped an episode. And I was just, like, up to this point, I was like, fuck, how did we get from, like, getting tranked by Lila to here? And then Oliver says something to the extent of, like, oh, I learned something from fucking Thanos guy, whatever his name is, Megalotron. I don't know. What's his name?
Megalotron. You can just call him the Monitor.
The Monitor.
I don't ever go by his proper name.
We learned from the Monitor that, you know, just fucking go with it. And I was like, okay. And then I watched the rest of the episode.
So, okay. One, I want to kind of talk about Mia real quick.
Oh, that's 100% okay, so you all know by now, I text Bob during these episodes, and sometimes Ryan if I'm being a little shit, but one of the things, the most surprising thing probably ever, I feel like, that I text you is, Mia's not this bad that episode. Like, you know, she's okay.
Okay, so I put myself on, like, a little homework assignment, if you remember,
yeah,
to go watch the other show she's known for, which I can't even remember the name, but I'm horrible with names, so I'm looking it up right now to fill. And she is written this way. Catherine McNamara is not that bad of an actress.
Yeah.
And I was kind of glad this episode that she showed more of that side where she's not so angsty teenager. Because I watched, I want to say, the first two or three episodes of Shadowhunters.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really good in it.
Well, and like...
So that just proves...
She has moments, though, in this episode of where it's that same, like, defense and everything. And, like, why do you want me just to stay here? Why don't you want me to help? But for some reason, it's so much more tolerable. I don't know why. I think it's maybe because she's not, like, shaking her head so much, giving, like, that teen attitude. It's just, like, giving the line.
Mm-hmm.
And, like... feeling whatever it is you feel, I guess. Like, it was just far more believable this episode, and, like, I could tolerate looking at her face and her performance without wanting to punch her.
Well, and that's, like, that's the weirdest thing for me, is that I have watched, like I said, a couple of those episodes just to try to figure out what the deal is.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of times we blame actors or actresses for performances and just say that they're not that good.
Yeah.
And the fact that that Shadowhunters TV series has been on for 3 years and, you know, wins all these awards and she's beloved by that fan base. I wanted to see what they saw. And what I saw was that they haven't written her very well on this television show for Arrow. That she does hold up and she can do physical type things. And
can she?
Yeah, I mean, everything looks fine on that show that she does.
Like, you're not questioning it, you're just like, you're seduced by her performance.
Yeah, like you just buy the bullshit, I guess. It's not horrible. And so that just makes me go, okay, well, then there's hope for, you know, the future with Green Arrow and the Canaries.
Do you think that, because I'm assuming with humidity, her weird wavy ramen noodle curls can't, like, stay in? Or do you think that was a choice? Because remember with Dinah, they softened her look a lot when they were trying to soften her character. When they were trying to make her more likable, they did like lighter colors and everything like that. And I was trying to look for that. I was like, okay, why am I into this now? And like, how are they fixing it?
Oh, so you were thinking it was like they physically changed the appearance to kind of make you believe in something that you weren't seeing before.
Maybe. Like, I've seen them do it where they add lighter things and they like try to soften the character like visually. So I don't know if this was just a fact of like humidity and her hair not cooperating, or if they were like, no, 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 just let it be. Because what if the internet, like, I don't know, I haven't really seen it. What if the internet was just like, I fucking hate her hair, and then and they're like, you know what, let's try something.
Like, or whoever. Well, no, it's James Bamford, and Bamford's directed a ton of these episodes, right. So it's not.
But that's what I'm trying to figure out. Is like, okay, so this is the episode following like Diggle directing her for a little bit at least. Like, mm-mm. I'm wondering, like, what's the difference now? Other than this episode, like, she finally sees that her dad does want to be her dad, you know? Like, she finally sees the light and all that.
So it just, like, broke down that wall?
I mean, maybe, but it even seems like before, when she's, like, fighting him, like, why are you trying to keep me here, like, in the little tent area and not go help you? Like, why are you trying to like keep me from helping? And when she has that interaction with their kid, her brother
William.
I wanted to call
it's
him
amazing
Dick.
How we cover shows and completely forget about the shit real quick.
Yeah, right. I wanted just to call him Dick for some fart. Reason or Tommy, and I'm like, that's not his name. He does look like a Tommy though. That's the other brown haired white guy.
You get just distracted in your own head.
I do. But their interactions together, I really liked them performing this week. And I didn't want to kill Mia at all. Like, it was just acceptable performances. I wish she was like this the whole time. And I don't know what was different, but it was a good episode to watch.
So, do you think that it is more character progression, or it was just something was different this week?
I think it's both, in all honesty. And I can't say that it's directing then. Like, I'm wondering if it's, like, something that she learned at all. Maybe she was directed to be, like, snarky and shitty before. Maybe we were supposed to hate her, so that way when this character progression does happen, it's, like, visually she looks different. It's like acting wise, it's just the way like things are shot too. Like, mm-hmm. Anytime she was having interactions like with her dad, the camera, like if they were face to face, when the shot was on her, the camera felt like it was like a little bit taller and like not directly like in her face. Kind of like that perspective of like a father.
Okay. No, well, like I said, I definitely saw a difference too this week, and I can't pinpoint it. And everything that you said completely makes sense. That they, whether it was like, all right, well, less dark, angsty eyeliner and soften the hair, and but you're always the one that points those things out to me. I mean, That's always like the big turn in some of these characters is like, let's just redo a design or a look for them.
Well, and my hope is too, because on these sets and stuff like that, like your director is like kind of going with you on like what the look should be and everything. And my hope is that, yes, the artist does have the freedom here, but there are those conversations with the director. So... I mean, I'm sure they read the script too. They see the changes. They see the performances. I would hope that you're involved because then things like this show, you know, like where things are softening or more extreme with your character that you're, you know, doing your art on.
Yeah, completely makes sense. Hey, RMD listeners, if you love these shows, please share them with your friends. Write reviews. With every share and review, it helps us climb those charts. Wherever you listen to, whether it be Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, remember to share these links each and every episode. So, of course, Dinah can fly a plane.
Yeah. What?
I just don't doubt anything anymore, but that one I was just kind of like, all right, you were like, there's nothing in your history that says that you're able to fly.
I'm a canary. Just gotta let me fly.
Gotta spread these wings.
It's fine. But I also was just like, they go crash, like 100%.
Okay, so I'm glad you brought up the crash, because I watched that thing twice.
Yeah?
Just to confirm. Diggle looked like he was looking, like, north while the thing was crashing on the east.
Well.
Like, it was so, like, weird looking to me. It was like, where the fuck is he looking?
I don't. Oh, no. Really? Oh yeah. No.
Unless he's got like a lazy eye that's just fucking wandering to the right, or he's got really good peripherals.
That's, I mean, what if he was looking at the other thing? Like, what if he was looking at where the missile was coming from?
No, the missile came from that side, too.
I'm trying.
I understand you're trying to justify this, but this one was just like... All right, y'all green screened the shit out of this, and you were hoping, but nobody's faced the right direction. And it was just one of those, like, oopsie things that they threw me off.
Well, okay, so why... My first question is, like, yeah, the island blew up. Like, why the island? Where are they now? Like, I think that's why I was, like, at the beginning, like, I'm fucking confused. Because why, when?
I think they kind of nipped that in the butt there when it was just like, hey, this island is putting off all kinds of energy, and that's why the you know, the extreme growth and all this other stuff, because, you know, even Oliver's was like, last time I left this thing, it was fucking charred.
Yeah.
And then you think about last year when we saw Roy on it, it wasn't that bad, but again, it was just hell to get to. So,
It made it seem like it was another, like, time period, possibly, but for them just to be like, it's just so much energy, I'm like, okay.
Like, I don't know if that's how Earth works.
That's not. Whatever. Like, that's why I'm just like, I mean, I think if they were just like, it's purgatory, it's never going away, I feel like I would swallow that a little bit easier, you know? I don't know why, but I feel like if they just said that, then I would be fine with it.
Yeah, so, you know, with this week, it was the whole, we need to put this weapon together, and allowing William to kind of do his thing, and I really hope that they are doing this intentionally, but they completely write this man like they used to write Felicity.
Yeah.
It makes me completely miss her as a character those first couple seasons.
Why is she gone? I don't understand.
Why is she gone?
Yeah.
I get, well, if you think about it, technically she's protecting baby Mia.
Okay.
And you know, Oliver can't have any kind of contact with her, so I would assume that this is the reason we're getting off.
Okay.
You know, on where she is and why she can't be with the team, because of, it's so weird to think about it, because you can't talk about implications of, like, the future.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm trying to, like, figure everything out.
And I think it, right now, logically, it's better off just to just be like, all right, whatever. We're dealing with a superhero show. This island, who gives a shit if it's grown back? You know, we're talking about the Eater of Worlds is coming. Then, you know, you go to things like, oh, well, you know, don't fuck up the future. Roy lost his arm this week.
Yeah. That's one where I'm just like, so this is the Roy from the future, but in the future when they go to get Roy, he has his arm. But, like, he would have not had his arm in the future.
Yeah, and I think that's where you were just, like, getting caught up in, like, the whole craziness of time travel.
But is that the writer's fault for not thinking about that? I feel like it is. That's the writer's fault for not being like.
I don't know how this works, because you got to remember there's an episode of Legends of Tomorrow was a 2041 where Oliver doesn't have his arm.
I know. That's where I was like, are you trying to just throw us off the scent? Like, I don't understand. You can't have two people missing arms. Come on.
What are you talking about? Doesn't every Skywalker lose his arm?
Oh. Fine.
But come on, how can it happen twice to two different families?
Right.
But I don't. This is, again, the future thing and knowing what the future looks like and having Roy help out the kids in the future with the Canaries. And we know the Canaries age. We know this happens. Like, now what happens with all that stuff with Roy and William going to the island and the collecting of the stone and everything else is just so weird to me.
Yeah. And he doesn't take the stone, but he has to go give. I
worry about where this is going, because right now we're on episode 7.
Yeah.
Episode 8 is the crossover. Episode 9 is the backdoor pilot for Green Arrow and the Canaries.
Dumb.
And episode 10 is the return of Felicity and the say goodbye.
Gross.
I mean, I mean, it's planned out. We know exactly what's left.
Yeah. I'm like, man, you guys could have done better. But so, I think it's because we have all these, like, we went into this season with an expectation when we shouldn't have. We should have just sat back and enjoyed it. But you know what? They should have gone all out and given us everything we fanned about. Like,
well, yeah. And I think that's the issue now, is that you're causing ripples in your own timelines.
Yeah.
Of stories that you've told because you went to the future. And now we don't know what to do with those things.
Like, do they not exist? That's what I'm wondering. Like, Oliver losing his arm. Does that not exist? It sounds like to me that he's there in the future. Oh, so, it's a different Earth. Okay, fuck me. Whatever.
Well, okay, so there's this weird thing that goes on that Legends of Tomorrow kind of established. And I think, I think Flash said it too, that the timeline is malleable, that things can change. So, I don't.
That's such a fucking cop out.
Oh, it 100% is that. But again, that's what you're going to always deal with when you're dealing with shows that are going to be going into multiple seasons. This isn't as good as like a Back to the Future type movie, to where you have to focus on your hour and a half, hour 40 minutes, and then okay, whatever, it's over.
Neither was Doctor Who, but Doctor Who, like, dealt with timeline or time travel, like, specifically and stuff, and they would always do, like, explanations at least.
But, again, I've never seen an episode of Doctor Who, but did it make sense over there?
Yes, and even if it was, like, the doctor himself, like, getting confused by it, by being like, it's a timey-wimey, like, it's not a linear thing, like, it's just timey-wimey stuff. Like, the way that it was explained, like, makes sense in the way that they, like, talk about it. Like, you would question it, but at least they had, like, a science or two behind it.
Okay.
Like, and they always had it too, where it's like, time can be rewritten, but that's how, like, it was rewritten with intention.
Okay. Yeah. I'll buy it just because I guess Doctor Who is the most
longest running time travel show.
Yes, you're dealing with things that aren't really questioned and has stood the test of time, and Flash and Legends of Tomorrow have struggled with that because they made so many rules at the beginning that throwing that timeline is malleable line out there has kind of given you the get out of jail free card as far as doing what you want here.
And maybe with Doctor Who, the reason why it's like time can be rewritten is they go back to those like fixed points. And that's the difference, is there's these fixed points. It's not going to be like Roy losing his arm. And then he's the one that goes back to the future. Ha. And then they go like meet with him on the island and he has his arm. Like, that doesn't make sense now.
Yeah. And that's where I'm thrown off.
Wait.
Are you trying to think?
Yeah, hang on. Because this isn't... No, it's worse. Because this is the Roy now.
This is the Roy now.
This is their present Roy.
Present Roy. This isn't Roy from the, old man Roy with his sexy crow's feet and his gray on the sides.
I mean, they could easily be like William made him a fake arm.
Well, yeah, that's the thing is like, but I would buy that if he was sleeved the whole year.
Yeah.
Or they brought that up of, again, that you're sitting there wondering. Yeah.
How's the arm holding up on an island?
Because that's what what they did with Oliver. It was, it was Palmer tech.
Yeah.
When he lost his arm. And it looked exactly like the Atom arm.
Yeah.
And so losing the arm, and I think for those scenes, what I watched with the most was watching Diggle, the dad of the group, struggle with being able to let it go. Like, hey, we got to save everybody here. It's not good. Like, watching that performance and then having Connor have that, like, moment with his dad of, hey, man, we can save him.
Getting shit done, yeah.
But if we don't save him and we sit here and try, we can dig this out. We can do this. We can do that. I was just like, holy shit. Like, he has to listen to his son. And it was kind of like a good moment between those two.
Yeah. And it wasn't that drama that either. It was just like, it was getting shit done. It was how it would be in those moments. And it just goes to show like how he was like trained and everything. And it just kind of shows like how the family was or is or will be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, Diggle totally looks like a dad in that scene. Like, he's got like a fucking polo shirt on.
Polos and khakis. And
yeah. Also, how sharp is that knife to get an arm off in one hack? Through bone.
Super sharp? I don't know. Is that a level of sharpness?
I'm like, I'm looking at my arm and I'm like, I guess if you chop through like right at the elbow properly, you're still going to hit.
Look, I'm going to go, it's network TV.
Fine.
And that they're not going to sit there and be like, it was bad enough. Do you hear the one like kind of crunch ripping sound?
I guess. I suppose.
For them to sit there and try to go through, 17 different chops to get through. It's like, oh.
That's true. No one could handle that.
Yeah, we don't want that.
That's not what I'm here for.
So, this week we're back on the island and we see a bunch of old familiar faces. It's always nice to see that they pay attention to costumes and stuff. They bring back the old Deathstroke costume.
Yeah.
And again, as somebody who has purchased most of that stuff and worn it before, it's still this, like, they didn't go. I'm glad they don't get rid of everything.
Yeah.
Because it was the same swords. It was the same, horse riding vest that is underneath. Everything was the same. And so it was good to see, you know, those type of things come through.
Yeah, but it was, I felt like this was a goodbye episode, in all honesty. Like, I know that what's coming next, and we feel like we're going to get, like, another goodbye episode, like, just one more. But I feel like it's not going to have the whole entire cast. I think it's going to be, like, a lot more personal.
Uh-huh. It's going to be another freaking Felicity episode.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking vomit everywhere.
Well, I mean...
Is it bad that part of me is just like, oh, what if he's like back at the island? What if he's like starting everything over and it's going to be the real like Oliver and Laurel?
Like,
as it's supposed to be.
Honestly, there's some scenes where, like, even last week I was just like, man, like, they could just get it on right now.
Yeah. Well, they're and walking through the woods and stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm down. I'm down for this. I'm for this.
Yeah, you root for them, and it's one of those things that's what's meant to be. And when they did the rebirth reboot for after New 52, that was kind of how it went with them. Yeah. That, you know, there was something that drew them together. And honestly, that would be a cool kind of thing to where if they went with that scenario of, all right, we're rebooting this thing, and that's how somehow they're drawn together.
Yeah,
but action scenes and everything were pretty spot on there towards the end, you know, when they're trying to get that weapon activated.
Oh, so much action.
Yeah, and it just like...
That scene, yes, there was so much action. It was so good. And then there was that weird scene where Oliver and Laurel are being like held up, and he's like, put your weapon down. And Oliver turns around and then puts it behind its head. It's like, how the fuck... Why would you let him do this? You know he's about to do shenanigans. Like, come on. Like, this isn't just going to be like, come on. Why would you let him do that? You have so many like fucking AKs or whatever bullshit guns you have pointed at him. You've got like 6 of them. Okay, sure. You're just, I don't know. I thought that was just dumb.
Yeah.
But and he turns around so slowly too. It's just... Like, this unrealistic. I know Oliver's a badass, but come on. That was my one gripe with all of that. Man. Also, where the fuck did her canary cry go? Why wouldn't Oliver just like lay down and then she canary cries at them?
I don't know.
She hasn't used it like hardly at all this season.
No, I was wondering the same thing.
Like, I didn't notice that. They were looking at each other, and I was like, oh, he's going to, like, duck down, and she's going to canary cry. Teamwork.
Yeah.
And then he can shoot while he's on the ground. That would make sense. Why am I not directing this shit?
They had all the scenes, you know, where they're all, like, dressed up, because most of the Arrow crew has tremendous recovery ability since half of them were in a plane crash.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, I buy it off for TV, but when they're all, like, kind of standing in line trying to go activate, or go fight while the weapon is activated, just, like, they're running scenes and the fire and everything blowing up and the whole thing. And it was probably one of the most the scenes where, like, I saw Mia look like Oliver when she's fighting.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
I mean, it was the first time, just like, you know, the precision with the arrows, the different arrows, everything that was going on. I was just like, oh shit, like, this is pretty fucking cool. I wonder if
it's because it's like a nighttime scene. It wasn't indoor. Fucking nighttime scenes always look better.
True. I mean, they can get away with a lot more.
Because
you got to think on the grand scale of things, the explosions and then the flames shooting up fucking 50 feet in the air for no god awful reason other than to fucking look cool.
Yeah.
Those type of scenarios that were out there, I think it all just worked. And it was kind of, like you said, a good kind of last team battle. Because I don't think we're going to see much more of this type of thing.
No, we won't.
No, yeah. I mean, that's the reality of the situation that we're kind of facing right now, is that a lot of these things are the last time we're going to be seeing them.
Yeah, and we're going to get... I really feel like that's how it is. Like, we've got so many goodbyes this episode, and even like Dinah makes a point of like, that sounds like a goodbye. And I'm like, cause it fuck it is. Like, and then, so everyone has like their breakoffs and goodbye to Oliver, it sounds like. And maybe it won't be for Dinah and Renee. Like, maybe not for them. But I think Mia and Oliver had their moment and his little send off of like, now you get to tell your story, aka like the Canary show.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things that when I look through kind of the reviews of the episode, it's like Oliver gave us a whole, or Arrow gave us a whole lot of episode with some very weighty goodbyes. Mm-hmm. But doesn't this feel like a bit of the end to remember it by? And that's exactly, like, I couldn't say it better myself.
Yeah, that's exactly what this was.
It was like, this is the island that started it all, and now everybody's back on this island and we're fucking facing off.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where, yeah, we are running out of time here, and this is it. I mean, we have basically less than 2 hours of television left of Oliver Queen on this on the airwaves. I'm cutting out the crossover because, you know, never count.
I didn't remember the bad guy at all.
What? Shit. Because, I mean, he was early on.
He was early on. And also, I was like, oh, fuck. I don't even remember his story or anything.
Yeah, well,
unremarkable bad, like, to bring back.
But I think it was just one of those things that it was the more reminiscent of the island type scenario, not necessarily, you know. I mean, they could have brought worse bad guys back. The one, that was trying to freaking, I can't even think of his name now, the magic season, not Dark, but the other guy that was in the flashbacks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's the thing, is like, they could very well have gotten worse people, but if you're gonna bring back basically Oliver's mentor on the island and everything else, right, you want to go back to that, and knowing that this is whatever technically part of the Monitor's plan for the crossover, and, you know, to go forward. Now, the end of this episode, with Lila being, you know, a bigger piece of whatever's going on than
is she's ever the weapon.
Yeah, what, is ever which, admitted
what the
to.
What fuck does that mean?
Yeah, you know, when Oliver... its DNA doesn't start the damn thing.
What if, I don't know, what if last week's episode was kind of like a nod to the audience too, of like, just accept the destiny of whatever the fuck is about to happen. Just accept our show and whatever we're going to write right now. You know? Because Oliver's lesson was just to accept fate.
Yeah.
And destiny. And like, that's kind of like what we have to do here, is just completely accept whatever the fuck they're writing, dude. No.
Yeah. I don't know. So this is what we're going in the crisis with. They've yep. made their weapon, and then Lila disappears, and then we go to the standard like cutscene that was at the end of every episode.
So for her reasoning, because, you know, Diggle's still not on board.
Mm-hmm.
The Monitor showed me blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, I feel like I'm just having to accept things. Like, I wasn't really convinced.
Yeah. That is true. I think we are.
But maybe I'm just dark. And she was just like, none of it ever existed. And I'm like, okay. Like, that. What do you have to be sad about? It doesn't exist.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I the more that we're digging into this, the you know, with the crossover being next week or starting next week, I'm almost a little bit nervous about what's going on.
I for sure am. And that's
because
why
I want so much out of this that I'm afraid that it's going to be tons of member berries. And, you know, what are we going to get from a storyline? What are they going to produce in these 5 hours of television that they have out there, you know, for this show? And what is technically Oliver's swan song, you know, goodbye to you, scenario.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I guess we'll just shut up and watch.
Yeah, well, we'll
and
see.
And talk shit about it later. Ha!
Thing we do best.
I mean, all hopefully right. We're not talking shit. Hopefully it's great. Hopefully we're like, neato. That was a good send-off.
What I'm afraid of is it's going to be one of these things that...
It's going to be their typical promise of awesomeness, and then it's just a bullshit sandwich.
Or it's going to be like the end of Endgame for Avengers, the where we fall in love with a bunch of hero-type moments, and then 2 months later, a month later, we look back and realize that there was no substance to any of these moments.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because, right? Like, you know how fucking much you'll geek out when Diggle puts on the lantern ring, and then seeing Conroy freaking be Bruce Wayne in real life for once in his life. Lex Luthor on television, you know, battling Superman. Brandon Roth being back in the Superman suit. All those things are such fucking awesome moments on their own that you will fall in love with whatever they do right away.
And then it's not going to matter.
And then it's like, it's going to be over and they're going to get their 3 million, you know, people watching it, but it might not have any substance behind it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, final thoughts. What's your number?
I mean, after talking and everything, probably about like 70.
Okay.
I mean, it wasn't bad. It just... I guess it's okay, just as okay. A whole season.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Me and you have been covering Watchmen.
Yeah.
How much is Watchmen ruining the curve for the CW shows?
100%. Fuck yes, it is.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, it is.
Okay. I wanted to throw that out there if you guys aren't familiar. Me and Angelica do the Watchmen edition of this also, and it's by far been some of the best TV we've seen in years. And I always wonder if, like, when you watch stuff like that, does it taint the current products that we've been covering for like 5 years?
Yeah. I mean, and I'm like looking at fight scenes and everything too, and it's not that they're bad. The acting this episode was great. I didn't want to hate Mia at all. Like, I was just very accepting of what they were showing. I liked the relationship between her and Oliver. And yes, seeing her fight and like now seeing like, okay, that is his daughter. But now that they've had like training and stuff like that, I feel like it makes sense. And it wasn't a bad episode. It's just in the grand scheme of things. In the grand scheme of what's left, this is just okay.
Okay. I'm going to give it an 80.
Okay. That's fair.
Again, just if I downgraded it on anything, it's the time travel conundrum.
That's what I'm stuck on. Is that we've seen the future. I have a lot of questions, you know?
Yeah. We've seen the future, and with... Before, it didn't matter with Connor and Mia and William, because we're just going to set them back into their normal spot. But when we start affecting the characters in the present, like Roy in his arm, that we've seen in the future affect William, Mia, and Connor. Huh?
A different Roy.
Yeah. Yeah. This is Earth 7, Roy. You guys just didn't know.
Fucking surprise.
He doesn't have the anger issues. But that's where it kind of just throws me off a little bit. To where I don't necessarily kind of understand where they're going. And again, if it was somebody that we hadn't seen, shit, even if it was Diggle losing his arm, because we still don't know where he is in the future, yeah. I might have been okay with it. Because we've never seen him.
Yeah. The fuck.
And then so that little kind of stuff just threw me off a little bit in this episode. Again, like you said, nothing wrong with the acting. James Banford doing the directing, and of course I expect big explosions and badass fight scenes because that's what he does. That's what he's always done on the Arrow show. When you see his name, you know that something huge is going to happen. But it leads us into our crossover, the thing we've been looking forward to since they announced it the midseason last year. So we will be covering that next week. And until then, you can always catch any past and future episodes of DC on RMD on DCOnRMD.com. Find us on all our social medias. Let us know what you guys think. And we will talk to you soon.
Mother of God, would you look at the time when you came here? You had an hour.